Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
Welcome to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf, your source for total wealth management. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the show are solely those of Roe, his guests, and callers. Now let's begin the show. Here's your host, Roe Diefendorf.
Thank you for joining us again on Three-Dimensional Wealth, and I'm your host, Roe Diefendorf, and today I've got Tom Palumbo with me, and we're going to be talking about bulletproofing your retirement plan. Welcome, Tom.
Hi, Roe.
Tom has been with Diefendorf Capital for over 15 years and has specialized in small businesses and done quite a lot with retirement plans, so we should have a good conversation, Tom, over this next hour. The one thing I will say is that retirement planning is more important than ever, and as I go back and I think of the careers of my father and grandfather and great-grandfather, retirement planning was not a very important aspect of what they did. And the reason is that when people retired, their life expectancy was only 2 years. And so they'd work their career and they'd have to save up money in order to provide for 2 years of post-retirement income. And those days have changed dramatically. And now when someone gets ready to retire at 65, if they don't want to retire early, but at 65, their life expectancy is some 20 years. And so now the need to have capital accumulated is much greater than ever. And people just are not good savers. So what we want to talk about is the importance of saving, how to do that, and then also, again, bulletproofing it. Things that the trustees can do to improve their plan, things that the participants can do to improve their plan, and from the advisor's position, what they can do in order to provide the most meaningful benefit to the consumers. So, Tom, what I want to actually sort of open up with now are different types of retirement plans, because the way that we would address them and the way that we would talk about maybe even fiduciary liability and things that we would do are different. So give us sort of an overview of the kinds of plans that we have out there, and then we'll take it from there.
Well, sure, Roe. There's two types of plans. There's a what they call a defined benefit plan, where the benefit is defined at retirement. How do we come up with the numbers to get to those numbers at retirement? The second one is a defined contribution, and that's a contribution that's defined at contribution time when you're about to make contributions to the retirement plan going forward. And then also, inclusive in that, under the umbrella of defined contribution would be a money purchase plan, would be a typical one, or a profit sharing plan. And then after that, we have what they call daily valuation, where once you're up and running, regardless of what plan, well, typically they are in defined contribution plans, you would have a daily valuation where every day you could check, and every day there's a valuation on those dollars, and you could check online what that value is of your retirement plan on a daily basis versus a balanced forward plan where that's done by the third-party administrator on a quarterly basis, and you don't really see the numbers until they do their quarterly reports.
Before we go a little further on the discussion of that, though, I just want to talk about the difference between the way that someone would look at or investment manager would look at a defined benefit plan versus a defined contribution plan. And the way I look at it is in a defined benefit plan, what we're really talking about is not really so much managing the assets, which is an important part, but it's managing or mapping the assets to the liabilities. It's that whole asset and liability behavior study which needs to be done prior to even making any investment decisions. And the reason is that when we hire somebody in a defined benefit plan, we create a liability. And the liability says we are going to promise to pay this person at the end of the rainbow a certain amount of money. And we need to then start putting money away today. And so when we hire somebody, we're creating a liability, assuming that they stay their normal course to retirement with employment. So we create a liability right there. And we can then quantify that liability. In fact, we can take the present value of that future benefit, and we can put a number to it. And so we know what that that liability will be. Now, where people run into trouble is that they'll mismatch the assets in the plan, the investments of the plan, to the liabilities that are being established. Now, the liability, for example, I might have somebody who is 6 months from retirement. Now, that means that the liability, the payment, is coming up in 6 months. If I invest my assets long-term and don't provide for liquidity within 6 months' time, I'm mismatching my assets to my liabilities. In fact, I may have to cash in my assets sooner and take a market valuation adjustment or take a loss on my assets. And those are the problems that then trustees run into as fiduciaries. So we really need to be careful as we look at the different kinds of plans, and so I'm glad that we talked about the way that they're set up. The other thing, Tom, though, as we move into sort of, you know, either daily valuation or balance forward, oftentimes I'll see plans that are what we would call bundled or unbundled. Enlighten us on that, Tom.
Well, Roey, typically in a bundled service plan, it's sort of where the administrator would have or the advisor would have everything all bundled in one grouping. So they'll do the plan administration, they'll handle the investments, they'll do it's an all-inclusive fee under one umbrella. So it won't be piecework together where you don't have to go out to a third-party administrator and then, you know, hire an attorney to do your document and then get an advisor to do the investments. You don't have to worry about that under the bundled service because it's all-inclusive. It's a one-fee program, whereas an unbundled program would be a piecework kind of situation where you would go out to find an attorney that would draft the document, then you would hire an investment advisor or RIA to do the investment work, and then you would find hire a third-party administrator, TPA, to do the record-keeping for the plan.
All right, so you've just outlined some of the players that are involved in a retirement plan. Obviously, we talk about the plan sponsor or the person, the corporation that's putting the plan up. That corporation then has a trustee. They'll establish a tax-exempt trust, and that's exactly what's happening. They will create a tax-exempt trust. So as contributions go into this tax-exempt trust, the corporation, the sponsor, receives a tax deduction. So we've got two different entities now. The trustee acts on behalf of the of that trust, and then they go on to have a party, typically a third party, that would handle the administration, the day-to-day, keeping track of whose money is where, keeping track of the vesting schedules, the payouts, any kind of loan that are going on, administration. And so we'd have that kind of administration. We have then the tax preparation. Because this tax-exempt trust needs to file its own tax return, and so we're filing a Series 5500 tax return for that plan. And then there's the underlying investments, and the investments then are normally handled by either a broker or an investment advisor. And so all of those pieces can either be put under one umbrella or they can be piecemealed out and separately, as long as maybe seamlessly all the pieces aren't flying around and then they fall apart. So those are how those plans are being set up. Now, there's interesting that the way the documents are set up, Tom, I know there's trustee plans, prototype plans. Describe those differences so at least we can get our platform set.
Under the trustees, under the whole governance plan, I think, you know, the trustees, you know, that are with the plan sort of decides what to do. They set up the plan objectives.
Well, I was thinking more in line of really sort of the actual document itself. Before we even got to governance, the idea of, do we go out and have an individually drafted custom trust done by an attorney? Do we use a low-profile prototype document that's been pre-approved by the IRS in order to have the same tax-exempt entity established? So those are, again, as we talk about design, whether we're using prototype plans or individually drafted plans, those are different ways that we can approach the plan. The other thing I will say in plan design is that the players that you typically will see will be insurance companies who most often offer a bundled approach. And then you'll see mutual fund companies, which oftentimes will either put a wrapper or a bundled approach. And then you'll find those that have an independent platform. And we may use mutual funds in an independent platform where that platform looks like mutual funds, but in fact they are cross-family of funds. And we don't just have one. So we've got a number of different players providing these retirement plan specifications. And so as we come back after our break, what we want to do is talk about the liability that exists in retirement plans. And the liability is great for all of the fiduciaries. So stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Three Dimensional Wealth. Thank you.
Business information you need. From the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
Win with effective marketing. Win with proper positioning and branding. Win with Dick McDonald on his show Win-Win Marketing for Buyers and Sellers every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, we will discuss the challenges and common mistakes made in today's industry while providing you insight on what you can do to avoid these pitfalls. Get ahead with effective marketing in today's world. Listen to Win-Win Marketing for Sellers and Buyers with Dick McDonald, heard every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time here on the Bottom Line of Business, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
If suddenly you're numb or weak on one side, limb, or face,
it could be a stroke. Get help. Don't wait.
Maybe it's a loved one suddenly slurring their speech or dizzy.
Call 911 and get medical help quickly.
Blacks have a higher occurrence. Do you want to know more?
Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost.
A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roe Diefendorf.
Our show for today is entitled Bulletproofing Your Retirement Plan. And today I'm talking with Tom Palumbo of Diefendorf Capital. And Tom's been involved for many years with retirement plans. And in our opening session, we talked about the different parts of the plan, who the participants are, whether they're trustees, advisors, plan sponsors. But now we want to talk about the personal liability and how you can get in trouble. And so, Tom, I'm going to pass the ball to you to talk about the liability that's involved in a plan.
Rory, under ERISA, a plan fiduciary is personally liable for 20% of civil penalty on the amounts recovered with respect to a breach of fiduciary responsibility. So, and it can happen. I mean, the Whitfield case in 1988 was a perfect situation. And I think we have to bulletproof the fiduciary's liability so they're not going to be liable for personal assets.
Well, I think one of the things that I find is that when I talk with plan sponsors, and the plan sponsors who then become the trustees of the plan, they have no idea that, in fact, personally, that they have to put up some of their own dough. And in this case, actually, in Whitfield, Tom, it was $635,000 was the amount of money that Whitfield was responsible for. And he had no idea that, in fact, that was the case. And fiduciaries, I mean, one of the things is people try to duck, and they say, well, I'm not a fiduciary in the plan. Who is a fiduciary in a plan? Well, we know that plan sponsors would be fiduciaries and trustees would be fiduciaries. But it goes down even as far as administrators, bookkeepers, someone that even handles the deposits that come in, the withdrawals that come out of someone's salary for a 401k plan, and their remittance to the investment firm, that bookkeeper is a fiduciary. And, of course, the investment provider. Now, some of them will say that they would be exempt because they are not investment advisors. They may be brokers. However, in the study that I've done, I believe that all of those participants involved, and anyone that's involved in handling the plan is a fiduciary and, in fact, can be liable. So the important part of this is, are there things that we can do proactively in order to, reduce the liability for all involved? Now, what's interesting, and I don't know if you have it in front of you, Tom, but when a plan gets audited, some people say to me, well, how are they ever going to find me out? Larger plans, in fact, will be audited every year. I mean, the federal law requires that ERISA-covered plans with more than 100 participants are audited by an independent auditor. So we have that going on. It's also common to refer to a Department of Labor, a DOL, or an IRS examination. So they'll look at those. But a DOL audit that comes in is quite lengthy. You want to talk about some of those things that are on that DOL list, Tommy?
Sure. They have, first of all, it only takes one confused or disgruntled employee, Ro, to pull this trigger. And we find, as we do record keeping and monitor that, we see that more and more plans are being audited, not just 100 employee plans, but small ones. You could have a two-person plan, two doctors or two lawyers, that could be audited any day of the week.
Yeah, and that doesn't have to be just from a disgruntled employee,
right,
saying, hey, my plan, I'm getting cheated. There are random audits as well.
Right. They could just pick and choose. In fact, when we used to run the administration firm, we asked them, how do you go about selecting audits? And they said, we just do them randomly. So it could happen to any of us as far as the IRS DOL going in and auditing the plan. But they'll want to check everything. They'll want a plan document. They'll want the SPD or the summary plan description. They'll want past 5,500 Cs from many years, maybe 3 years prior. They'll want summary annual reports or SARs, any other amendments that were part of the plan. So just any kind of documentation, they'll just, you know, it's pretty lengthy. There's about
I made a copy of one of the Department of Labor letters on a 401k plan of ours that was audited. Four-page letter. The first part of this is 27 items that you need to go on the hunt for. And then after that, it says, and to facilitate the investigation, we also need copies of, and then they go through, another 12 items. So between the 39 items on the list, you certainly are going to be busy. Now, what's interesting on here is that one of the things that they ask for is right here is your summary of investment policy, or what we would call an investment policy statement. Now, in the plans that we look at, I would say in 90% of the cases, plans have no investment policy statement. And that becomes an important piece in order to bulletproof your vest, not the vest, bulletproof your plan. And we've got a sample investment policy statement I'd like you to just review, Tom, with the listeners.
Sure. Well, first of all, Ro, you know, the statement, the investment policy statement, or the IPS, let me refer that to, is sort of a yardstick that the plan sponsor uses to determine the effectiveness of the investment managers included in the plan. So we could look at this and say, okay, the key elements would be the overall objective of the plan being established. We could use it also for the plan's overall investment objectives, the asset classes to be offered in the plan, the criteria used for the selection of investment managers, and also the benchmarks and or the performance of the expectations of each investment the manager is included in the plan. So when we go through that, we're looking at the history and function and purpose and responsibility of the plan. As I just mentioned, the investment policy, the investment guidelines of the plan, the objectives and the review procedures and how we go about reviewing and monitoring the procedure that we've written.
It's interesting. If someone doesn't have an IPS, of course, if you don't have a target, then you don't know whether you've been performing up to par or not. And so what we would call it investing on purpose. In other words, why are we doing what we're doing? And what the Department of Labor is looking for is they're looking for the procedures. In fact, performance is not even that important. It's procedures over performance. And as long as we have the correct procedures in place, that's the way that we can begin to bulletproof the plan. The other thing I'd like to just refer to is the plan governance. We've heard a lot about that with Enron and all of the other situations that were out there in the last 5 or 6 years. But plan governance is important because we need to know where the fiduciary's liability or where their responsibilities lie. And those can come, the fiduciaries can come in usually one of four positions. You've got your plan trustees who would ultimately be responsible for everything that goes on in the plan. Just below them, typically, you will have an investment committee. Now, in a small corporation, that investment committee may, in fact, be the trustees or the trustee themselves. But in larger corporations, they will develop and have an investment committee that will review the information and make recommendations to the trustees. But just below that investment committee, the next fiduciary down would be that of the investment advisor. And the investment advisor has certain responsibilities that they would then recommend to the investment committee, who would ultimately make a recommendation to the trustees. And finally, at the bottom, those that are actually pulling the trigger and making the decisions on what securities to buy are the investment managers. And so we've got those four levels that we would look at in fiduciaries. At the bottom, the investment managers are actually deciding whether to buy or sell individual securities. The investment advisor, who then is looking at the policy and the strategy, they will ultimately decide on what investment managers would be put in place. They would oversee those managers. The investment committee would oversee the investment advisor, decide on the strategy, make recommendations to the trustee. So there's very detailed procedures that can be followed in a plan. And those plans would be set initially for the policy, objectives, asset allocation, risk, whether we're going to have any kind of social policy where we're not going to put in tobacco or things like that. They're then going to look at strategy, which would be, are we going to maintain an active strategy or a passive strategy? And what kind of asset classes do we want to have? Are we in the large cap, small cap? Are we, what kind of sectors do we want to be in the management? Do we want to be in the, with value managers or growth managers? And how are we going to implement that? And then an execution stage. And finally is the control stage. And, in that audit, what the Department of Labor is going to say is, you know, what procedures are you using in order to follow an ongoing look at this thing? It's not that we can just have a retirement plan, make our investments, and walk away and come back a year later or 2 years later and think that everything is fine because we had made a decision. And unfortunately, as I see, and particularly in small businesses, they're doing a lot of different things, and this gets back burner attention. Unfortunately, we've got personal liability, which makes it to the front burner. And so what we want to do then is do everything we can to eliminate or remove fiduciary liability. And so after our break, what we want to do is come back and talk about some of the compliance ways that we can do that. And then finally, in our last segment, talk about the ideal plan. So stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Three Dimensional Wealth. Thank you.
More and more people are starting their day with informative, focused business talk. Top experts. Today's business issues. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
As a financial planner, do your clients really read all that computer-generated boilerplate text in an analysis? The FPS Financial Planning Software is designed for you to show your clients a concise and easy-to-follow report of their financial needs. The FPS system guides your clients to clearly see any needs that they may have in the achieving of their goals. Clients are guided to a decision rather than just reading the analysis. For a free copy of the FPS system, call 1-800-245-1991. Once again, that's 1-800-245-1991.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
What stock should I buy?
When is it time to sell?
Where do I turn for honest advice on my portfolio?
For the answers to these questions, tune in to Trading in Today's Markets with Oliver Alvarez and Greg Capra every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, Oliver, Greg, and their guests will discuss the daily going-ons of Wall Street, as well as give you tips on how to identify the hottest sectors and trends in the market. Improve your portfolio. Listen to Trading in Today's Markets with Oliver Alvarez and Greg Capra. Broadcast live on Business America Radio every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
Tune in every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. On the show, Aldana and some of today's top business professionals will discuss some of today's most pressing business issues that hold you, the business owner, back. Aldana will also give you 21 ways to grow with her list of growth strategies. Grow smart, grow profit, and grow your business with Aldana Ambler and The Growth Strategist every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
We now return to Three Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf. Direct your questions and comments to www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now the host of Three Dimensional Wealth, Roy Diefendorf.
Welcome back. My guest for today is Tom Palumbo, and we're discussing bulletproofing your retirement plan. And as we started out, we looked at a number of different kind of retirement plans, the who are the players, what kind of plans can you have. And the second part, we started to look at the fiduciary liability. What does that mean, and where does it come from? And now we want to talk about how to limit that and things that we can do proactively in order to make sure that the fiduciaries are well protected. Just we'll go over again just slightly because I think it's that important, is the investment policy statement, Tommy. If you want to just kick off with that, and then I may lead with talking about 404A and 404C.
Again, Ro, the investment policy statement is sort of a yardstick for decisions to be made in the plan. So we have something in concrete, in writing, so we could use as a guideline. And inside that investment policy statement, or the IPS, it talks about the history and function, purpose, and responsibility of the fiduciaries. It also talks about the investment policy itself, how we go about doing that, the investment guidelines, what kind of investments will we have in the plan. We talked about different asset classes, different sectors in the market, whether it's small cap or large cap or international funds. Again, the investment objectives as well, you know, where we want to be. Is it a young group? Do we want to be aggressive, or do we have, you know, do we need to be more diversified in this plan with, because it's a mixed group. So, and then we review the procedures, constantly monitoring the procedures as we go along inside the plan.
There's a phrase that's used in retirement plans, and it's called the prudent investor. And I think that had those prudent investor rules been followed by Enron, they wouldn't have gotten into the problems. And so often as I look at plans, the question I ask is, are they following the prudent investor rules? Rules like having no more than 10% of the plan assets in one security. Enron ran into problems there. Having no more than 33% in one asset class. And so if we follow the rules of diversification, we follow the rules of a prudent man, then you'll find that we'll limit our liability as we go along as well. Now, the IRS actually, or actually ERISA, put in some help to us, because what was happening is trustees and fiduciaries are saying, well, we can do these things. We can act like a prudent man or a prudent investor, but you know, we can have a disgruntled employee or the divorced wife or divorced spouse of a disgruntled employee file a complaint. And where's our protection? And so they came up with Section 404C of ERISA compliance. Now there's actually two parts to this. The 404A is at the trustee level. And at the trustee's level, it says we need to be able to make sure that we are providing the right kinds of investments to the plan in and of itself. And I've seen plans where the trustees think that the more that they put in the plan, if I have 2,000 options to give to plan participants, that, in fact, that will eliminate my fiduciary liability, because now I've given them, it's individually directed, not trustee directed, individually directed plan, and I've given them all the tools. Well, in fact, that would be more of a liability. And the reason is that we've put weapons in the hand, 2,000 weapons in the hand of participants who may not know how to handle those. And so at the 404A level, trustees need to act as a prudent man and oftentimes limit the choices that are available to participants. But the 404C compliance is much more specific for the participant investment direction. And there are six things. Tom, maybe you can pick up from here and share that with our audience.
First of all, under the ERISA 404C, ROE, a plan fiduciary can limit its investment liability caused by the the participant investment direction. Otherwise, the fiduciary is liable for adverse investment results. And so we have six things that, you know, in order to limit that liability, ERISA 404C requires that the plan sponsor to do many things, which include, for instance, offer at least three investment options that have different risk attributes.
So that would be things like, you know, equities.
Correct.
And fixed income. And
cash.
Maybe stable value or cash. Okay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Second thing is allow employees to switch their elections as often as needed, depending on the volatility of the investment, at least quarterly, though. The third thing is give the participants basic education on how to create their own asset mix. So you want to help them along and educate them as they go about selecting their investment options. The fourth thing is disclose all expenses and the charges against the asset, making sure everything is explicit. You know, there's those implicit fees, Roey, and those explicit fees. We want to make sure that all those expenses and fees are outlined in the plan.
That's not so easy to do.
Exactly. And the fifth thing is would be the name of a fiduciary responsible for carrying out the participant investment directions and an agent for the fiduciary. And the sixth thing is notify the participants of plan sponsor intent to limit the liability. So you want to make sure the participants know what they're trying to do in limiting their liability in the plan.
So the IRS, ERISA puts these in, and they say if we have these six criteria, if we follow these procedures, and a disgruntled employee turns around and sues us because the investment returns were terrible, we can turn around and say to them, procedure over performance, and know that we would be protected. In fact, one of the other things that you can look at in trying to limit the fiduciary liability is not just on the investment policy, which we've just been talking about, but also on the investment manager search. You know, how do we go about finding the investment management search? How do we go about monitoring the quarterly policy each quarter, evaluating each of those? And then how do we provide that information to the participants and monitor that? And so if we follow those, we're pretty well protected. But the other thing that we can do is actually put up a mock audit. And a mock audit is one that says, we're going to take that 39 items that are on your IRS or, excuse me, your Department of Labor list, and we're going to go through each of those, and before we get the questions, we're going to ask the questions and say, would they pass? Would they fail? Or are we on the watch, and how are we doing? And so we actually will do that for plan sponsors, in which case, as we go through each of the questions, in fact, our charts look and they'll say either red, yellow, or green. And so you'll know if we have a failure or we pass or there's some kind of thing that we've got to look out for caution on. So we know we can have an investment policy statement that really sets the direction. We know that we can lean on 404C in order to protect us. We can proactively go out and do a mock audit ourselves. We can act as prudent investors, but also I think the better that we can do the job at educating employees, and there are some things that I think that we can do, and Tommy, I know you've done quite a lot with enrollment meetings, participant meetings, individual one-on-one meetings with employees, and taking that responsibility away from the plan sponsors and the plan trustees and doing that for them as their investment advisor. I'll let you just finish up maybe before this section closes on the specifics of what you're actually doing in employee education.
Roy, it's not just a one-time process where you deliver the plan and you sit down with the employee or do a presentation and then you expect it to be on automatic pilot going forward. But it's more to it. I think it's more, I think employees want to know that you really care for them and you really want to help them. And that's what I find the most fun, where if you go into a business owner and all of a sudden he has 100 employees that you want to help, that makes it more fun for me, because you're sitting down with 100 different people and helping 100 people individually invest in their retirement plan. So I think, you know, monitoring their investments, helping them, sitting down with them one-on-one and helping them select their investment options, I think it's really key, because things change in their lifetime. And whether they're coming to retirement or they're very young, at a very young stage in their retirement, I think it's key to sit down with them, you know, once, twice a year and review their portfolio. And as we go into small companies, just to have annual or semi-annual meetings to review their investments. And if people have questions, we can sit down with them and review their personal account. And that, I think, is really key. And our job is to continue to monitor, you know, do our job in monitoring these investments. So if we have anything to bring to the table, we can share it with them and go forward with them. And also, you know, I think key is the importance of asset allocation. And I think people, you need to know why, how important that is, because people sometimes they invest too conservatively, or they're lacking in diversification in their portfolios, or they do frequent trading. They think they're day traders, you know, on their 401k account. Then they're trying to capture last year's performance. And the, one of the key things that we emphasize is to rebalance. You know, what we initially started out with, a typical allocation and how we sliced it up, we want to make sure that we go forward and rebalance it on a quarterly basis to make sure we're in line with what we started out with in the beginning of this process.
Tom, those are all positive things that we can do in order to bulletproof our plans. And when we come back, we want to talk about the ideal plan. What should it look like, and how would you build it from the ground floor up with all of the moving pieces? So stay tuned for more of Three Dimensional Wealth.
Fresh, dynamic, and totally prepared for continuing business education. Business Talk Radio. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On Managing Technology the Right Way, we'll talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its associated risks. Heard every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Sun Jogal, the host of Managing Technology the Right Way, will interview business leaders and other experts that have shaped the way we use technology. If you want to keep up with the changing world of technology, listen to Managing Technology the Right Way with Sun Jogal every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, the Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, the Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Are you looking for a unique perspective on today's market from an experienced economist? Well, look no further. Listen to The Economic Contrarian with host Mike Norman every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Mike and his guests will discuss new trends in the marketplace, as well as emerging companies and opportunities. So if you want in-depth analysis from a contrarian point of view, don't miss The Economic Contrarian Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roe Diefendorf.
On Three-Dimensional Wealth today, we're talking about financial wealth and more specifically about retirement plans. And as we started out this hour, we talked about how important retirement plans are because, A, people don't really save much these days, and, B, they're living longer, and so we need more capital. And so we're on a collision course unless we do something in order to start to save money. So we want to make sure that the retirement plans that we build from the ground floor up are the best possible. And there are plans out there that are package plans that can be purchased. They may be simple. They may be bundled. They may be unbundled. They may be provided by insurance companies, investment companies, banks. And so there are all kinds of plans out there. And what we want to talk about this time, Tom, is the ideal plan. I mean, if you could wave the wand and start from the ground floor up, from the document, all the way to the administration, to the investments, what would the ideal plan look like? And then we'll put a dollar and cents to it and say, hey, is it feasible in order to do all these things? So I'm going to pass it to you, having done this so many times for clients, Tom. I'm going to let you talk about the ideal plan.
Well, first, Roe, just to go down to design a plan is to have a plan that's going to be fit for the particular individual or the company as we go forward. And there's many different types of plans out there, as we talked about. But I think understanding your client is very important. And that's what I do initially, is to go into the plan or go into the company and ask a lot of questions first to understand what kind of retirement plan they're coming from or what kind of retirement plan they want to go into. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very key because, you know, I ask a lot of questions regarding, you know, how they want to take care of their employees, because if you think about it, if someone's at their firm for 30 years, you want to send them away with something. You want to be able to say, you know, pat them on the back or her on the back and say, you know, thank you for being a loyal employee, and, you know, here's your retirement benefit that you've saved for 30 years. So understanding the client, I think, is a very key element. And once we go through that, then I'll go into plan design, whether it's a 401k or it's a profit sharing situation or a money purchase or a defined benefit, and sort of design the plan according to the needs of the client. And once we come up with that, you know, there's a lot of things that are included in that. And we talked about a lot of these things, is designing and putting in the investment policy statement. And again, that sets the benchmarks, it sets the yardstick, you know, for the plan. So there's not going to be any hidden features in the plan. We know going forward how we're going to design this plan and what's going to be in it and what they're expected and what our expectations are and what their expectations of me are, you know, how I'm going to go about monitoring this plan. Okay. Another key thing is the employee education we just mentioned. We emphasize a lot of that is sitting down with these employees and making sure they understand the plan. Sometimes I'll go into a plan, Roe, where the participant level is maybe 50% of the employee census. By the time we educate the employee, we can get that, and do the enrollment meetings, we can get that percentage up to 75 to 80%, you know, maybe even 90% of the employee census after educating them, because before we even came in, they didn't even know they even had a plan or didn't understand how it all works. The next thing in the process would be setting the asset allocation and choosing, you know, the investment selections in the plan and how we go about doing that.
When you use the document, in other words, we have to set up this tax-exempt trust. Mm-hmm. Wave the wand. What kind of document are you going to use?
We want to use a prototype kind of document where it's, you know, everything is lined up and laid out to the specs of the plan. For instance, vesting schedules, eligibility schedules, you know, when a participant is eligible to join the plan, when they're eligible to be vested in the plan, when they're eligible to as far as joining the plan, you know, all those different items that it takes to be in the plan.
Sorry, are you using a document from an insurance company? Are you using a document from an investment company? What kind of prototype document do you use?
I'm using a prototype document that's really portable, Roey, where it's not associated with any, it's sort of a custom prototype where you're not associated with any insurance company or investment company, where if we decide to move the assets from one platform to another, we need to go from, for instance, a Fidelity platform to something else, we don't have to worry about changing the documentation. That document is completely portable. We could use it for any investment selection that we have or any platform that we need to use.
Okay, so I hear you saying independence.
Exactly.
Okay.
We want to be able to not have any ties to any document that we use in any of our plans.
Okay, so the next step would be?
And then as we go along, I started to talk about the investment selection process and making sure that we are choosing. We're the moms. We're the manager of the managers. So we want to make sure we're choosing the right managers of these funds. So when we go forward, we don't have to worry about that end of the that part of the program, because the managers are doing their thing, and we're managing those managers and making sure they're doing their part in this process.
Great. Let's talk about how you get paid, though. Is this paid by are you paid by an investment company, or are you paid by the plan?
We're paid by the plan, Roey. In our particular plans, we have what they call an RIA fee, a registered investment advisor fee. And it's not like a typical brokerage house's 401k plan. We're using an investment plan where we're using a fee-based a module, versus any time, typically in a brokerage firm, any time they make a move, a transaction, changing from one fund to another, there's a fee that's accompanied that. So it's completely unbiased. It's an unbiased selection of funds, and any time we make a move from going from one investment to another, there are no fees.
Do you use proprietary funds?
No, we don't. We don't use any proprietary funds in the plan.
Do you lose loaded funds?
We don't use any loaded funds, and if we do use a loaded fund, that loaded fund must be waived in order to get into our program. So you could use a typical A share, but the A share load, the front end load, will be waived to get into our program. So we don't associate with any brokerage fees or any transaction fees. We have a vested interest in your account. We want it to go one way, and that is to grow. And because, the better you do, the better the client does, the better we do. So we have a vested interest in our clients' accounts. And whether we make one move for the year or 100 moves, it doesn't make a difference. We're not paid on transaction-based, accounts. We're paid on the advisor fee that's going to be inclusive in the whole investment.
I heard you say there was no front-end fee, and there's no back-end fee.
That's correct.
And it's just a fee for what you're doing for as long as you do it,
mm-hmm.
And so you have to be performing.
That's correct. We want to make sure we're doing our job, because, if we don't, then the client knows it's just as easy as they came into the plan without any load charges going in. They know they could walk without any fees on the exit. So we don't need to worry. I mean, that's the only thing we need to worry about, is making sure that we're doing our job, during the process, during the year. And if we do, then that makes life easier for everyone.
Now, I know I've teed them up for you a little bit, but, if this is so good, why don't trustees change their plans all the time? Why don't they go, oh, well, this is easy. I'll just run over and do what you're doing.
I think it's the relationship that's real key here, Roey. It's, clients, I would say most of my friends become clients and most of my clients become friends. I think it's the relationship is a key element here. And if they see that you're doing the right job for them and servicing them, and you're maintaining a relationship that's real strong, real deep, I think that's the key to the whole process.
I think sometimes, though, that can actually work in reverse, or where you've got a participant or you've got a plan sponsor who has a relationship that just doesn't want to ruin the relationship, or they don't know enough about all the things we've talked about, ignorance, or then there's just procrastination. They don't get around to it. And so in these retirement plans, it's important to be proactive from all standpoints, as a trustee, as a participant, and as a plan advisor. All of us need to be doing the best job possible in order to provide those retirement plan benefits. I want to thank you for joining us this last hour. I hope that you've enjoyed our discussion. I invite you to join me next week at the same time. And I'm Roe Diefendorf, and this is Three Dimensional Wealth.
Thank you for tuning in to Three Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf. Please join us again next Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time for more tips and strategies for achieving total wealth management on Three Dimensional Wealth right here on The Bottom Line in Business Talk.